So is Norm. Please stand in body or in spirit. This is the day that the Lord has made. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away.
See, everything has become new.
It is good for us to be here on this Father's Day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And now let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another, keeping a moment of silence for reflection and self-examination of our sins. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. You are the tree of life, offering shelter to all the world. Graft us into yourself and nurture our growth, that we may bear your truth and love to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Ezekiel, the 17th chapter. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree, and I make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 92 responsively with me. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High.
To declare your steadfast love and glory, and your faithfulness by night.
To the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre.
For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy.
The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon.
They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God.
In old age, they still produce fruit. They are always green and full of sap.
Show me that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no righteousness in him.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to our consciences. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died, and he died for all, so that those who who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Mark, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, and he does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes with his sickle, because the harvest has come." Jesus also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It's like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. And if you know anything about the gospel of Mark, as much as Jesus tried to say, explain things in private to his disciples, they're dumb and they didn't get it. I'm just saying. That's the gospel of Mark. They don't get it. All right. Anybody know what this is? You're not allowed to answer. A what? Crayon box or lunchbox. So what kind of crayon or lunchbox specifically? I legit just said don't answer. This is a see the arches? This is a McDonald's lunchbox from probably like 30 years ago. It's like a Ronald McDonald lunchbox. But I didn't bring it because of the lunchbox. I brought it because of what is inside of my lunchbox. Ew! Anyone know what this is? Don't answer. Anyone know what kind of pods these are? What kind of seeds these are? Ah, we got it. Milkweed. This is milkweed. So I have to ask, why on earth would I have a 30-year-old Ronald McDonald lunchbox filled with milkweed seed, other than perhaps I was saving it for a sermon illustration someday? Because I'm weird. What? I learned that today. Someone told me that. You can take these things and you can stuff them inside and make life jackets. But I also learned that they stopped doing that because these are really flammable. So, but in a pinch, you could use these if you had enough of them to float. Just keep the flames away. Anyway, I hate weeds so much, especially thistles. You might remember my stupid dardar pondering once upon a time where I dug thistles out of the ground, took them to my office, and then like accidentally spilled dirt all over my desk. I hate thistles so much because I've been spending 3 years in one flower bed trying to get rid of thistles, and they won't go away, and they will never go away, and I hate them so much. So why would I, a hater of weeds, have a box full of seeds for weeds? What? Butterflies! We are butterfly farmers at my house. So we like to provide flowers and bushes that are a haven for hummingbirds and butterflies of all kind. But in particular, we sow this weed right here because the monarch butterfly needs milkweed. And if you know anything about monarch butterflies, they are decreasing in number due in large part to their lack of habitats and, in particular, their food source, the milkweed. Well, they don't eat this part. They eat the actual milkweed. Don't worry, I'll make a bigger mess. It's fine. So a few years ago, we took some of these milkweed seeds and we planted them and we got them to stay in this nice little flower bed. They stayed right there, exactly where they were supposed to be. And then last spring, they started spreading out the back. And I have this really nice lawnmower. Did I mow over them with my lawnmower? No, I didn't, even though it went out in my nice yard. And then this spring, guess what these stupid milkweeds did? They went out into the front of the flower bed. And did I mow over them? Of course not. I did. She was about ready to throw down on me. I did not mow over them because I love monarch butterflies and I love their very hungry caterpillars that need this yard-invading weed to thrive. And at this point, you're like, man, he's been talking for 5 minutes. He hasn't said anything about Jesus. What is his stinking point? You might be saying that every time about 5 minute mark of my sermon. Jesus today talked about the mustard seed. But you're like, but that grows into this wondrous, greatest of all shrubs, right? Doesn't it? Yeah? Except Jesus has a little bit of a sense of humor. The mustard plant is native to Palestine, and it's not a weed, is it? Is it? I mean, we've been taught since we were little kids that this is the greatest of all shrubs. But Jesus has a sense of humor. When we read scripture, we take Jesus so seriously all the time. But I think this parable proves that Jesus likes to mess with people just a little bit. And he does it by comparing the kingdom of God to a tiny, meaningless mustard seed. And the weed, that's right, the weed that the mustard seed produces. Because mustard in Palestine is a weed. I know, you're like, I thought he said it was a shrub. No, they knew it as a weed. I did my research this week. Anyway, his audience would have known this plant. To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Jesus says. And Jesus leaves the audience hanging. He's like, they're like, what's he going to say? And he says it's this mighty mustard seed. And Jesus looks around one way and the other, waiting for a laugh. And the people are like looking at one another like, should we laugh? And it's like just this really awkward and usually kind of a lot like my sermons. And then he keeps going. And then it grows into the mightiest of all bushes. And then they like maybe laugh a little bit more because they're like, who calls a bush, a shrub, mighty? I mean, think about it. And then he hits it with a punchline that's not really a punchline that's meant to make us laugh. He said, it offers branches of respite shade and a place for birds of the air to make their homes. It's not a joke. This is what God's kingdom is, according to Jesus. It is a quickly growing something from nothing that spreads its weedy branches to those who need shade and rest and a home. And he's riffing here. He's riffing a little bit on the reading we heard from Ezekiel today. In Ezekiel, something really bad just happened to the kingdom of Judah. It's pretty well been destroyed, right? So the kingdom of Judah, God's chosen people, they have been deported. They have been sent as exiles to Babylon, right? Their leaders, their king who is in the line of King David, the mighty King David, oh, how he has fallen. Ezekiel, too, has been deported. Israel has not been faithful to God, and this is the consequence. Exile, right? Exile. Israel, once the mighty cedar, has been toppled, or at least uprooted. And if you read Ezekiel, he spends a lot of time being really hard on these Judeans. But this is a word of hope, uttered directly from the lips of God. God says this: I will take a sprig, just a sprig, that's it, nothing more, from the cedar, a tender one, a young twig, and I, God, will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it, and it will once again become a noble cedar, strong and mighty, and it will produce boughs, strong and mighty and bear fruit. And here's the part where Jesus heavily borrows from the prophet. He says, and under this mighty cedar, every bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. So think about that in relation to God's promise to Abraham all the way back in Genesis chapter 12. God says this: I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. In you all the earth shall be blessed. Israel, Judah, is blessed to be a blessing. That is the perpetual hope. The promise of Ezekiel, that is what Ezekiel is saying, isn't it? You are blessed to be a blessing. You will once again be a great nation, a blessed nation that you will, and then you will bless all the people. All the birds of the air will find shade and rest in you. You are a mighty cedar, or once again soon will be. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus completely rejects this idea of Israel being a mighty and lofty cedar. I'm not saying that Jesus rejects Ezekiel's telling of this story. He just perhaps brings it down to earth a little bit. Right? Shrub-like is the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying this with a laugh and a smile, I think, because it's meant to be funny and because he is trying to provoke the hearers. Because undoubtedly some in the audience would have understood his reference to Ezekiel, and I don't think that they would have appreciated the change. You guys aren't this lofty, mighty cedar. You are down here, this greatest of all shrubs, and by shrubs he meant weeds. I wonder, do we appreciate the change? Do we appreciate the change? Would we rather be that mighty mountaintop cedar or that lowly, scraggly weed? The run-of-the-mill, it grows anywhere, it's boring, it's sometimes hated. Weed. Who wants to be the weed? Anybody? Who wants to be the cedar? Who doesn't care and wants me to finish the sermon? My kids. Cool. We want, I think, to be the big and the mighty cedar. We want to be in charge. We want to be seen from the mountaintops. We don't want to be just a boring, just like everyone else, weed. And this is what makes this parable, this simple parable, so profound. Jesus uses it to expand the kingdom of God. Now, he's not chopping down the cedar. He's not chopping down the cedar. It's fine just where it is. But he's saying, you know this tiny mustard seed? You see this tiny mustard seed? You know how they grow into those pesky weeds everywhere? How they grow fast and how they're so numerous that we barely even notice them? Well, yeah, that's kind of what the kingdom of God ought to be. Right? Not just a cedar on the mountaintop by itself. God's kingdom grows like a weed among the people. Among the people. And it's all across the land. And the bigger and the more expansive the kingdom of God, the more shade, the more branches, and ultimately the more hope we have for everyone in the kingdom. There is a place for everyone in the kingdom when that kingdom is made of weeds, right? So I have to ask us right here today, are we, this church, First Lutheran, what, almost 200 years old? Norm, tell me. About 200 years old, right? Getting there. Are we a mighty mountaintop cedar? Or we? Also, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, a once mighty institution. It's had some limbs fall off, I'd say, right? A few storms pass through, and guess what? There's more storms coming. There are always more storms coming. Are we, First Lutheran, is the ELCA, are we mighty cedars? Or are we weeds? And I suppose that you're asking, okay, Sean, okay. You're the pastor. You're the one who went to seminary. How do we become more like the weed? How do we become more like that weed? And if you're asking the question, I'm going to call it a success because that's a change in mindset, right? We want to be the mighty cedar. We want to be that mountaintop. We want to be seen from everywhere. But if you're asking, how do we become more like the weeds? That is a success because wanting to be like the weeds, that's something different than we've ever been in the past. And I wish I could, as your pastor, stand up here and give you this brilliant three-point sermon saying, first do this, second do this, third do this, water it, wait 7 days, and we'll come back next Sunday and the pews will be full because that's what it's about, butts in the seats. But I don't have that three-point sermon prepared. I can't write that three-point sermon because it doesn't exist. I don't have a three-point plan. All I have is a really cool, if not slightly messy, metaphor of what this might look like. Just a bit of a visual. It is up for us, the people of First Lutheran, to figure out what it means to be weeds. We have the seeds in our hands. But I can guarantee you in our hands, inside that lunchbox, they will never grow out of my stupid little flower bed out into my yard. These are unplanted. But bubbles? Eh, perhaps. Somebody tell Sarah to Teresa for me. She's not going to talk to me for a week. What are our seeds? What are they? What are our seeds? I don't know. I can't answer that on my own. We can answer it in conversation together here at First Lutheran. Where we cast them, where they go, especially seeds like these that float on the wind, that's up to the Holy Spirit, isn't it? All we can do is release them from our hands and let the Spirit blow them where they will go. We cannot predict or we cannot explain where they will go. We cannot predict which ones will take root. All we can do is cast the seed, and there is good news in that. And Jesus tells us this good news in the very first parable he offers in the gospel today. The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, but the sower doesn't know how it sprouts and grows. The earth produces of itself, Jesus tells us. Casting seeds, that's all, that is the call we hear today. It's a simple call. Casting seeds. And then we must allow the Spirit to blow them where the Spirit desires, to plant them, to embed them, and in the earth. Well, the earth will produce of itself. Two more pieces of good news. What we are casting, what we are called to cast, weeds. If you know anything about weeds, weeds grow where they want. And they grow really easily. And once they take root, they spread. The last piece of good news. We still stand here as a mighty cedar, a cedar that has been planted by God. Jesus didn't do away with the cedar. The cedar is still here. We are still that cedar. But I will offer this. If we only stand here as the cedar, where, oh where, is the monarch to find its home, its sustenance, and its shade? We cast the seed, and God does the rest. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.
I ask you now to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Probably add me to the prayers of intercession today. That is a big mess. What prayers do we have today to add?
Thanksgiving for Norm's 89th birthday.
I've been asked to pray for a prayer of thanksgiving for Norm and his celebration of his 89th birthday. Other prayers this morning.
Peggy and Rodney.
Pastor Sean.
Let us pray. We come before the triune God to pray for our communities, ourselves, and for this world.
Nourish your faithful people through gifts of word and worship. Thank you for speaking to us through these gifts, and open our hearts and minds to your guidance and voice. May we, the people of First Lutheran, humbly listen to and faithfully interpret your message of grace for this time and place in the history of this parish, your church, and the world. In your wisdom, show us your activity in the world, that our faith may become active in love, and that Galleon and Crawford County may be our parish. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Nature sings your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Sustain the holy rhythms of creation, days and seasons, hibernation and activity, phases of the moon and tides of the sea. Amid the tumult of storms and floods and natural disasters, the turmoil of this world and the daily struggles of our lives, let these patterns assure us of your good creation, that your good creation and provide comfort and assurance of your constancy. We also pray for those most susceptible to the upcoming heat wave. Please keep them safe. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. You raise the lowly and humble, those in high regard. Raise all who are victims of marginalization, discrimination, and hate. And turn our hearts toward love. Remind us that racism and bigotry are systemic societal sins, but that as individuals, we can take meaningful action to repair and renew relationships that have been scarred by decades of hateful and destructive words and actions. End fundamentalism and white supremacy, and root out any movement that claims one person or group is better than another. And remind us that in Christ, we are one. And in Christ, all things are made new. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Tend to all who journey by faith and who wait with patience for the fulfillment of your healing promises, especially the family and friends of Craig, Aaron, Jane, Noel, Jean, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, Ed, Pastor Tim, Peggy, Sally, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Bill, Linda, Wilma, Peggy, and Rodney, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Grant perseverance to people doing physical and occupational therapy, people living with mobility concerns, those facing chronic pain and illness. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. As you have loved us, so let us love one another. We thank you this day for the gift of fathers. Empower fathers, stepfathers, grandfathers, adoptive fathers, chosen fathers, and all who act as fathers. Embody your love for us, this gift of love for their children. For those who struggle on this day because they have lost fathers or children, bring the comfort and peace that only you can. Where relationships are strained or broken, bring healing, restoration, and peace. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. This day we raise prayers of thanksgiving for those in our faith communities who stand as examples to us. We especially lift to you today Norm, whose 89th birthday was yesterday. Please continue to give him grace and perseverance that he may continue to be a blessing to us. God of grace, receive our prayers, O God, and come quickly to our aid through the power of the Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Andrew? We continue with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of this world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
It is right to give our thanks and praise. Oops. Hold on. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy.
The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The earth produces of itself, and the grain of the harvest is turned into bread.
Come to this table where all are always welcome and eat of this simple meal where we encounter the real presence of Jesus Christ, the host of this meal. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Thank you.
This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ask, as you have nourished us in this meal. Now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name, let all God's people say, Amen.
Amen. A few announcements this morning. Let's see here. Big one is, so June 30th, that's not next Sunday, that's the following Sunday. Note the absolute no change in the time of worship, although we will be worshiping here with our friends in Christ from North Robinson as part of the Lutheran Partnership. And perhaps more importantly is the absolutely epic, right? The epic event to follow that. There will be an ice cream social and a light lunch after the service. Most of the stuff will be provided, except for we're asking you to provide a few of the stuffs, right? Is there a sign-up sheet out there? Yeah, just like some chips and some veggie trays if you're able to help with that and sign up with for that. The rest is covered by the Hope team. So anyway, that is that announcement. Are there any other? Reminder that Noisy Offering is going towards our prayer shawl outreach. If you are looking or know someone looking for a VBS, take a look at the bulletin for some details of something going on in Fredericktown. So other than that, I was told of one more announcement, which we already covered just a real little bit of. But there is someone who turned 89 yesterday, and I think we should sing happy birthday to him. And with that, please stand in body or in spirit for a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Spread the good news of Jesus Christ and scatter this seed wherever there is ground.
Amen.